Okay, we are still early, I think another 3 minutes. Yeah. So in the meantime, you compose your mind, maintain some form of relax, body and mind, then you silence your mind. Yeah? There are two Buddha Rupang. One is up there, I don't know whether you can see or not, blocked by the whiteboard. Cannot see. The other one is here. So when you pay respect, you can either pay respect up there, or you can face the Buddha Rupang. It's up to you. The more important one is to develop your Sadha, Virya, Sati, spiritual faculties. When you can develop that, you don't worry where the Buddha is. The Buddha is everywhere. The nature is throughout the entire existence. So you can silence your mind for a while. Then in about 2 minutes time, we can start. Everybody here before, except I think one or two from Klang. They may be new. For those who just came in, there are some notes on the 31 plane of existence and the 10 Dhamma line. You can get it from Mi Fong at the back. Last Thursday we distributed some. If you already have, you don't need them. There are three copies of notes stapled together. My one is laminated so that I can put it on the whiteboard. So maybe I will just put it on the whiteboard, then we can start. Okay, we can start our puja now. Compose your mind, develop the very strong faith, Sadha, Virya. Then we pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we will chant the puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะบุตตังสรณังกัจฉามิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิบุตตังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิบุตตังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังดิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรัยมัจจาปะมาทะทานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we start. Okay, very good evening, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. For those who haven't got this book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, it is one of the Thursday class recording, dated 12 September 2013 last year. So this is a very important guidebook that describes clearly what is meditation, and how you can develop it with all the meanings inside, clearly explained. So if you are new, especially I think the two from Klang, I don't know whether you have a copy or not. You don't have? Oh, you don't have. Oh, I will try to get it for you. Sui An, you got any more copy left? No more? Oh, never mind. I get it from the car. How on. My wife will get it for you. You try to get the A4 size. Below the blue color. Below the blue color is the A4 size, the white one. Okay. Not the Samatha Vipassana, the other box inside the square box. Okay, the reason why I want you to pay attention to this book is because this book will save a lot of time for us. I don't have to repeat the instruction for meditation. They are all here. And you can slowly read through, develop your understanding, so that when we come, we can save half an hour at least. Okay, so for tonight, I just give a very brief description, then we can have our meditation. You see, basically, You are here to develop the training of your mind, so that it can have this clarity within, so that it can be peaceful, relaxed, and with the inner awareness to develop the meditation, to understand clearly who are you, what are you, what is this so-called human being all about? Why did the Buddha call it the five aggregates of form and mind? And why did the final summary of the first noble truth, the Buddha define clearly what suffering is? He said, in short, it is due to your delusion or ignorance that condition you to grasp and cling on to your so-called five aggregates of form and mind, which he called the five grasping aggregates, leading to what they call suffering, dukkha. Okay, I have here maybe only two copies. Oh, sorry, I still got the big one. Okay, I give you one copy. Yeah, you can give your friend, your colleague at the back. Yeah, yeah. Anybody don't have the 12 September? Yeah, you don't have. Oh, you have already. Oh, your sister supposed to get the pink color one. Sui An, yeah, Samatha Vipassana. Yeah, I passed to Sui An to pass to you just now. Yeah, you have a copy. Oh, okay. You can have that. Pass to him. Yeah, you tell your sister, this is for her. Oh, Kayalamita Fan, Sadhu. You donate to Thursday class. Kayalamita Fan, we rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. No need, no need. This one is. Oh, one more. Oh, okay. Never mind, I still got a big one. Small one, limited. Bear that one, easy to carry around. Now people prefer the small one, I don't know why. Yeah. Okay. You go back and read. Yeah? You will develop the understanding very clearly. Yeah? So basically, like I said, it explained to you what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So basically, the meditation as taught by the Buddha is the Noble Eightfold Path, okay? But to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha explained clearly why your mind is not peaceful. Human beings' problem is when you want to start your meditation, you have big problem. Because when you sit down and you try to relax and close your eye, you'll find that the mind thinks a lot. The mind is heedless. Not peaceful, not able to settle down. There is no silence, no clarity. There is what they call no clarity to allow you to meditate. So because of that, the Buddha explained very clearly, he said, it is due to your ignorance, your delusion, that condition you to arise the five mental hindrances of mind. The five mental hindrances of mind are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind. When you have fear, worry, anxiety, your mind will be restless. Then doubt. Doubt means you don't understand life. You don't understand why you are like that. So you have a lot of doubt with regards to a lot of things that happen in life. And you doubt about the meditation too. You don't understand what the teaching is all about. Then you got multiple views of what this teaching is all about. Then different people tell you different things. So when you have this doubt, your mind becomes very weak. So the Buddha said these five hindrances, they keep on arising within the human mind when you have delusion. They are all clearly described inside the booklet that I passed to some of you just now. If you have any question, next Thursday or what, you can ask. But in the meantime, go back and read. It's very clearly explained. It's based on that Thursday talk, which happened to be very comprehensive and cover many, many things that are meant to be. So when you understand it is because of the hindrance that you are not peaceful, then what must you do? The Buddha said, do not be foolish. Don't go and fight the hindrance. You don't have to do anything with the hindrance. The reason why the hindrance are there is because you haven't developed the opposite five, mental faculty or spiritual faculty. When you develop the opposite five, which the Buddha called the spiritual faculty or the mental faculty or pancha indriyas, then it will counter the five hindrance. The five hindrance in Pali is called pancha nivaranas. Nivaranas. So this opposite five develop very beautiful mental states that will make you very peaceful, very quiet, very still. And there is a lot of clarity. So the five spiritual faculty are also mentioned inside the teaching, within the booklet. They are your faith, sadha, in the Buddha and his teaching. The first one is faith. That's why when you do the puja, you must recall to mind the great wisdom, virtue, and great loving kindness of Lord Buddha, so that you can have the faith in him. And when you have the faith, your mind is very calm, very composed. That's why you are peaceful. You are not restless. You don't have any worry, anxiety, because that confidence will make you very calm, very composed. Then when you know that the teaching is so wonderful, the Buddha Dharma can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, can free you from all suffering, can liberate your mind, then you have this, what they call, not only faith and confidence, you will be very motivated to cultivate this training, so that you can also become enlightened one day. So this motivation or spiritual zeal is the second spiritual faculty that the Buddha talked about. First is the faith, sadha, or confidence in him and his teaching. Then through understanding how special and how wonderful the Buddha is and his teaching, you develop this spiritual zeal or virya or spiritual tenacity to drive your motivation to cultivate the teaching, to put it into practice. That's why the three phases of Dhamma come about. First, pariyatti, you learn about the teaching. When you understand what the teaching is all about, then you put it into practice. That is phase two. Then phase three, you reap the reward of your hard work or cultivation, pativeda, where you will have the good life, the happy life, the peaceful life, the life of the enlightened being. The third spiritual faculty is sati, or mindfulness. So when you compose your mind, you pay respect to the Buddha mindfully. It means body and mind move as one without thought, because sati is awareness before the knowing. You're just aware. Don't try to know anything. Body and mind as one. When you walk, body and mind as one. When you bow, body and mind as one. When you are seated, relax, body and mind as one. Maintain attention. That's it. The moment you are silent, attentive, you are already aware. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Okay? So the third spiritual faculty will make you peaceful. Because without thought, you are very peaceful. Without thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sankhara, no activity of mind, no what they call stirring of mind, reaction of mind, no complaint. You become quiet, peaceful and silent. So sati is very important, the third spiritual faculty. And when you already train your mind to have this sati, you will be able to meditate very well. Then as sati stabilizes, you will develop some form of samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind that is very stable. So that even in the midst of living life, when you confront situation, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile feel or think, your mind remain collected, unwavering. And that is the stability of mind that we call samadhi. So when sati and samadhi is there, your mind has clarity, has this firmness, collectedness, unwavering mind that will not stir and react. And this is the mind that can allow you to understand things clearly, to see things as they are, so that there is no delusion, so that you are not deluded by what you see via your views, opinion and your conditioning. You see truth, you see the reality, then without thought. You awaken to their characteristics and you understand clearly, yeah, what the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature is all about. So this is what the meditation is all about, vipassana. Then when you have that ability, you will keep on arising the last spiritual faculty, which is wisdom, panya. So when the five spiritual faculty are there, the hindrance ceases to be. So meditation is about cultivating these five spiritual faculty. And the best way to do it is to have a good religious routine daily. Every day before you sleep, when you wake up and in between, have this puja to develop the spiritual faculty. Constantly reflect, contemplate on the Buddha and his teaching so that you can develop the very strong sadha, virya. Then maintain mindfulness throughout the day. Then your meditation will progress very fast. So our Thursday class is for you to train your mind. The Buddha said the most important spiritual faculty of the five spiritual faculty is sati, mindfulness. Because when you cannot train your mind to be aware, to be mindful, you can never be heedful. And you can never be heedful, you can never meditate. Heedfulness is a combination of two things. When you are mindful and you use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation that stopped by the Buddha, and then you become heedful. Okay? So our purpose here is to train the mind so that you can apply this mind that is trained to develop the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. For those already trained, you just meditate. Okay? I will now off the light. Yeah? Then you can start your meditation. For those who are new, who still need instruction, maybe I will give you a very brief one. Then after that, you try to just silence your mind. Yeah? If you are new, means you have not trained your mind, so you need to train. And the booklet, the transcript, 12 September 2013, explain clearly how you can do it. You can develop the mind sweeping method to decondition the heedless thinking and combine with metta to develop inner well-being. Okay? Now I'm off the light. For those who need instruction, just relax body and mind. Make sure you got a stable posture. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then completely silent and just relax body and mind. Then maintain some form of awareness or attention at your forehead. Feel your forehead. Just feel. Don't think. The mind sweeping method is about feeling, no thinking. Feel your forehead. If there's any tension, tightness or stress, you just silently relax, relax and relax. Feel the forehead soothingly relax. Then you move it down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Silent everything. Just feel. Normally after a tired day, your eye muscle are quite tired. So you just feel and just allow it to be. and relaxes them. Then you do the same for your facial muscle field. Relax every strand of your facial muscle. If you have problem, then develop metta. Try to visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are relaxed, naturally relaxed. And when you can relax, your facial muscle will not be tense. Then you radiate this love or metta to yourself. You can recite as follows: may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire being, your entire body and mind. Then you can repeat it one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind state too be free from all mental negativity. May this mind of mine too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself peaceful and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can continue to radiate this metta to all your loved ones, all those that have affinity and relationship with you, to all our Kayana Mitta and all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they all to keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. And may all beings throughout the entire existence, known and unknown, seen and unseen too, be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy throughout the entire existence, within the hearts of all beings throughout the entire existence. And may they all always be happy and peaceful. Then after that, you can come back to your facial muscle, silent and relaxed. Just feel. Then you move your attention to your neck, your shoulder, your hand, relax everything. Then back to shoulder, relax. Then feel your heart, your chest area. You can detect any vibration or any heartbeat. It's just silent. And stay there. If you are new, then you don't have to do that, because your mindfulness is still not stable. You cannot feel your heartbeat or the vibration. You need to develop more refined mindfulness later on. In that case, you just silence your mind and just feel your heart like you feel your forehead. Then you relax every part within your heart area. Feel it soothingly relax. You move it to your stomach, abdomen. Do the same, just feel, relax, don't think. Then you move it down to your buttock, your leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole cycle from your leg, buttock, abdomen, you feel, you relax. Then you move to your stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Back to your heart, silence everything, feel, relax. Then after that, back to shoulder, neck, hand, back to shoulder. Then your facial muscle, feel, relax. Then your eye muscle, your forehead. By now you should be more peaceful and more calm. Your mind state should be more conducive to develop the training of the mind to be aware. So now is the second phase. After mind sweeping method and metta, you develop the training of your mind. You can use anapanasati if you don't have any special technique or method or any skillful mean to make yourself peaceful. If you got them, you can use them too. But anapanasati is very easy to develop, very useful. And the Buddha recommended it because it's a very neutral object, suitable for most personality. So for anapanasati, it's called mindfulness of the in and out breath, because anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath. You don't think, you just aware. Means the breathing and the mind move as one without thought. That is anapanasati. No. So like the Buddha said, you feel your breathing. You maintain awareness in front of your nostril. Then breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then as you detect your breathing, the Buddha say breathing in, the mind and the breath as one. The mind is aware of this breathing in. Then breathing out, the mind is aware. Develop this training. Initially, you may not be able to do it because you have not trained. So don't worry. Every time this mind wanders off or become heedless, you patiently bring it back. Bring your attention, awareness back to the breathing. Then maintain silent and just note or use the word aware. Aware means without any active thinking or labeling. You just aware means the breathing and the mind move as one. If you continue to train in this way, not long, you will be able to develop that stability of anapanasati. And when you can develop that, your mind will be very different, very peaceful and very calm. The moment anapanasati starts to build up, you continue to relax. Then the spiritual faculty of piti and sukha can arise. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual rapture. A very good state of mind, a very pleasant or what they call a joyful state of mind born of meditation, born of training the mind to be aware, to be silent without thought. When piti arises, there is a type of spiritual calmness that gives rise to this spiritual joy or rapture. Then you will like to meditate. Then you continue to develop it, silent your mind. Relax more and more. Then piti can transform into what they call sukha. Sukha is a type of very refined state of piti. It will become like very blissful within your mind state. So when you have piti and sukha, you will be very calm. You will feel very good. A lot of positive energy within. Then you just relax and silent. Then you will become very calm. Then your anapanasati will develop. And usually, the breathing will become like very long breathing, long breath. But you will be very calm and very peaceful and very mindful. You just continue to do that. Then continue to relax. Train that mind in this way. Okay? I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. So now I will leave it to you to meditate. Okay. Slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, you can just silent, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Maintain awareness of every action, every movement after your meditation. Try to maintain this trained mind that you have developed through anapanasati training. The mind that is trained is very beautiful. It will listen to you. It will not be heedless anymore. You want it to be silent and peaceful, it will just be that. Then you want it to be aware, it will just be aware. Means this mind that you have trained, you can use it, you can direct it, it will listen to you. It become like a servant to you, it will serve you. Not like before. Before, when you are heedless, when you have not trained this mind, you got no control over this mind. You got no understanding of this mind. Then you get deluded by this mind. Then this mind actually control you. This mind take over your life. That's why you become angry, emotional, fearful, because this mind, through delusion, react to life. So without wisdom, living beings suffer a lot. So our meditation is to develop the heedfulness, to be aware, to understand what is going on, so that we can have this ability to train this mind. When the spiritual faculty is there, the mind will be trained, automatic. No need to do anything. But the spiritual faculty is the one that you have to work on. Saddha and virya is easy. You can use your first turning and second turning contemplative wisdom to develop saddha and virya. First, through listening to the Dhamma, now you can read through the Dhamma books, the notes, the transcript, and all those that has the Dhamma. So reading, hearing, and listening to the recordings can help you develop the first phase of Dhamma understanding. They call it Suttamaya Panya, first turning wisdom, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta. Nowadays we are more fortunate, you can combine with reading. Then you can also re-listen to it again, because it can be recorded. Then after you have heard, listened and read about it, you should reflect, contemplate, inquire into all the teaching to develop a higher understanding, a more stable understanding, so that all of the Dhamma you have read, listened to or heard, you can stabilize them and assimilate them into an understanding that is more stable. The Buddha called this the second turning wisdom, Chintamaya Panya. So when you can do that, you can actually fairly quickly complete the first phase of Dhamma. Then through this understanding, you can cultivate, put this Dhamma into practice so that you can live it, so that the Dhamma become a living Dhamma, not just knowledge, not just information. Phase 2 is called Patipatti. Phase 1 is called Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching and the doctrine. Then when you have understood what this teaching is, you should put it into practice or cultivation in daily life, so that you can realize this Dhamma in life itself, so that this Dhamma become a living reality, not just a theory or a knowledge that you carry around. You know but you cannot do. If that is the case, then it doesn't serve you much. It doesn't benefit you much. It's only after you put it into practice and cultivation, then you can have the Dhamma becoming a living reality. Means you can live that Dhamma. Just like the advice of the Buddha. The advice of the Buddha is very simple. Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalisa upasabandhan sacitta pariyodapanang etang buddhanasasana. So all Buddhas, when they come, they give the same advice. The first advice is, all evil you have to avoid. That's why sabba, all, papasa, evil, akaranam. Then all of wholesomeness, kusalesa, upasambadan. Wherever there is condition to do, you should do. That's why avoid all evil, do wholesomeness and goodness. Develop virtue, develop sincerity, honesty, gratitude, respect, and all those virtues. Then the last one is sacitta pariyodapanang, means citta is mind. You have to purify this mind so that you can develop the wisdom to understand life, so that you can live life, you can liberate your mind above all those first noble truth reality that can condition you into suffering or that can lead to affliction when you confront them without wisdom. So when this can become a living reality, then your action, your speech, and the way you live your life and the way you arise your thought has all this advice within. Means you really, really can avoid all evil. Your precepts are very beautiful. Then you have a lot of wholesome thought, right thought, wholesome, appropriate and good speeches, gentle and pleasant speeches that are very conducive for the good life, for happiness, for joy, to bring about harmony and good relationship. Then you will have very noble action, like generosity, kindness, goodness, all of the virtue, respect, gratitude, sincerity, honesty. Even contentment is a very great virtue. When you live a very contented life and you live a very generous life, you will have the virtue with you. And this virtue will protect you and bless you and bring about a lot of wholesomeness, merits for you. So cultivation is very simple. When you understand, it's very easy. And the mind that is trained can develop all this very easily. That's why the Buddha said, you only need to train your mind to have heedfulness. And to be heedful is very easy. You only have to train your mind to have sati, mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. It becomes heedfulness. And the Buddha guarantees you, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. He spoke this under Dhammapada verse 21. Whereas if you do the opposite, if you don't train your mind and allow your mind to simply do things, you become heedless. Means a heedless person couldn't care less about life. They are very selfish. They are very emotional. They are very violent. And they don't care because they don't have right view. They are conditioned by a lot of wrong view. So beings like that, they become heedless. And when they are heedless, the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. You are spiritually dead. You got no spiritual life. Means, even though you exist through life, but you don't have the spiritual life. You are as if dead spiritually. Which means, there is no chance for you to become enlightened, to develop the spiritual understanding of life. That's why your mind cannot free. Your mind will be entangled because you don't understand the essential teaching that the Buddha teach, namely the Four Noble Truths. This Four Noble Truths is like the secret of life. When you understand them, you will understand life and you will know how to live. Well, it summarizes to you all of the mundane and supramundane aspect of life that you need to know. That's why you don't gullibly go and think Four Noble Truths very easy. I know. In fact, Four Noble Truths is very profound. If you truly understand this Four Noble Truths, you will understand life profoundly. Because it is really the secret of life. All of life within the condition arising world or mundane world and the supramundane world, they are all clearly described and explained by this Four Noble Truths. That is the extent of the great wisdom of Lord Buddha. And when you can understand that, there is a lot of joy. And you become like very different. You will have a lot of faith, confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. And your faith in him will become unshakable. That's why you will definitely become at least a Sotapan or an enlightened being of the first stage of fruition. And it's not difficult if you really, really determine sincerely. Develop the faith, saddha, virya, and cultivate your mind so that sati can stabilize to develop samadhi. Then wisdom keep on arising. Then you will awaken. Okay, now that summarizes what we need to know. So now I will open up to the class. Those who want to report your meditation, you can do so. Then you can also ask me any question related to meditation or the Dhamma or how you can apply this teaching to help you understand life and solve all of your life problem and situation. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody? Oh, I better sit on the chair, otherwise I cannot see you all. Okay. If you got it. Any what they call meditative experience that you want to report, you just put up your hand, then pass the mic to the back. Okay. Don't be shy. Anybody? Just report whatever meditation that you have gone through just now. Or you got any question you can ask. Nobody. Then what about you holding the mic? You got any question? You want to report your meditation? How you find the meditation just now? On the thing, push it up. Push it up. Just push it up. Okay.
Very good.
Very good. Can you describe what happened so that we can maybe help
more
other people?
The mind,
oh, very good. Spiritual faculty.
Not running everywhere.
Good.
Go a longer period.
Good. Means you are more calm, more relaxed, more peaceful. The key to meditation is relaxation. Always remember. Then when you are relaxed, you can maintain the relaxed state of mind. You become silent. And that is what peace is all about. Understand? The silent mind is the meditative mind. I already told you, without thought, you are already aware. Understand? So don't try to be aware. You only need to be silent. How can I be at peace? When I'm at peace, I got no thought, I already aware. Understand? When you are attentive without thought, that is awareness. Like you attentively want to listen to something clearly. You're silent. Understand? You're just silent. The moment you are silent without thought, that is sati. That is the meditative mind. And it can happen in life. You don't need to always in the formal sitting posture or in a retreat where you slow everything down. No point. That does not reflect the reality of life. The reality of life is action. within the moment, and it can be very fast. You cannot slow everything down. You cross the road, you go and slowly do that. Walking, walking, walking. I tell you, soon you will be in the hospital very fast. Asana. Because when the car come, sometimes they are very reckless. You have to move. Asana. You cannot be say, oh, I'm trying to practice mindfulness. I'm trying to be aware. That is your luck. I wish you well if you do that. But please, don't try to do that in the daily life. Daily life, there can be meditative state, but it is not the one you are used to or conditioned into believing that that is vipassana, that is meditation. The real meditation is like what the Buddha described under sati sampajana. Everything you do, all action, all movement, no matter how fast, you still aware. That is the real sati. Okay? So apart from your mind becoming more peaceful, more quiet, more calm, less wandering thought and heedless, anything else you develop, anything else that you want to share, or maybe
it can go longer than sitting.
Yeah, generally you can sit longer here. Here there is a advantage. Yeah, the energy here is very different, very different. Those who know how to meditate, they will know. The moment you sit down, it's very different. And many people come and ask me the question, Virati, how come when I come to your class, I sit so much better? When I go back and do, I feel sleepy, and I cannot just sit like here. Because here, the collective energy is different. And here is also the place where I have taught for almost 5 years. Very fast. I really, really thought it was only 2-3 years. Then Brother Suyan told me, it's already 5 years. And then I reflected back, oh yeah, we are the year 2009, I remember. We are 2008. The end of 2008, the message came. Then 2009, things start to happen. Then I start to come out and share more and more. Last time I only limit to Kayanamita groups, the regular. Then after 2008, end of the year, something happened, then the message came. Then my nature have to flow and accord. That's why I start to agree to give talk again. At one time I stopped them all because my schedule was full. Then condition arise, things happen. Then I start to agree and accept all those invitations again. Then this Thursday class also was because of one talk that I delivered at SJBA. Actually, that one also happened by chance. I don't know what happened because Brother Suyan told me the speaker couldn't make it. They need to have a replacement speaker. So they couldn't really get anybody under short notice. Then Brother Suyan suggested to the president, maybe I get Brother Teo. Then he called me. I said, yeah, I will be free. So I think it was only 2 days notice or one. Then I went there and delivered the talk. Then after the talk, they find it interesting. Then they continue to invite me to give talk. Then after the second or third talk, I think Sister Ingby, she came and approached me. You all should thank her, actually. She was the one behind the invitation to ask me to come and teach here. And you should thank Mi Feng and Sui An also for sadhu, for agreeing to allow them to use their house for the what they call Thursday meditation class. So everything just happened because she came and talked to me after the talk. Is it relative? I rejoice. Your talk is so different, is it? Within that 1 hour, you like can summarize all of the essential Dhamma and it all get connected so clearly. Then after a while, then she asked, why do you teach us meditation? Then at that time, I remember Mipong was staring at me, trying to send some message. But I knew. I said, it's okay, we are very sincere. Then after that, they say, where should we have it? They dare not have it at the temple because of certain reason. Then at that time, it was, I think, suggested Mipong's house. Then I say, okay, no problem. Then I think there was a reason why Mipong say, two of us only, you know. Maybe I get Sui An to join. That time Sui An never meditated. So I say, don't worry, even one person is sincere, I will also come and teach. So that was how it all started. Then the conditions just fall into place like meant to be, then everything just happened. So that's why whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind because of your affinity with the Triple Gem, because of your good karma, your good maybe affinity with the Triple Gem. And these are all the conditions that will bring about wholesomeness for all of us. Then we can come together as a big family. Kayanamitas. Are you off so that the distortion there or disturbance will not be there? So always remember, after you speak the cordless or wireless mic, off it. Otherwise, it will send vibration to the main station. Okay. Any more? You got any question apart from the meditation reporting? No. Anybody got any question? Your friend, I think he's looking at me. No, the one, the bald head one. You got any question? Or you want to report anything? good. Just report your meditation will be good. You just describe to me exactly what happened. Then I will explain to you.
The more I sit down, I settle down. Relax the whole body. My head and
You able to do that or not?
Very fast.
Oh, very good.
And then I just watch the rising and falling.
Abdomen, no problem.
No,
go there.
Rising and in and out.
In and out breath. Yes.
It changes very fast. Goes back to the pain.
Yes.
I know the pain, the rising and disappearing very fast. Once it goes in, my mind goes deep in. Then it comes more and more. Then I realize, I just cannot.
I know. You don't mind. I just give you some good advice. I understand what you go through. You have been meditating before, that's why you are able to describe all this. But the two very important advices: don't try to know too much. Don't try to know too much. All those descriptions that you describe, silence your mind. Don't try to know anything. Silent more and more. Then you will understand the real Dhamma. Then when it comes to breathing, all those changes, forget about it. Just silent and feel it. Allow it to happen. Then the understanding that comes from the silent mind is not a Dhamma. In inverted comma. That Dhamma that you apply is the teaching, the knowledge. And that one is from your memory, your thought, your conditioning. That one, you cannot see the real thing. The real thing can only come about when you are truly silent. The moment you are completely silent and relaxed, that is sati. That is the one that can investigate into the phenomena, the Dhamma. Let the phenomena tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story. Don't go and say, I can feel this in and out. When I go deep, all these changes, anicca. This is all what I mean by thought-based meditation, Dhamma. This is what you are being conditioned into doing during meditation. And who is the meditator? The thought that is inside there, labeling, chattering, trying to develop that meditation, trying to note this, note that, and describe all those Dhamma. That is the thought. That is not the silent mind. The silent mind, you don't know anything. But because you don't know thought, you don't know anything, it will awaken to the truth. It will awaken to the characteristic. It will understand everything that is going on within your form and mind. Then upon contact, how consciousness come to be, you will understand the real thing that come out. Then how within the content of consciousness, when you input your mental intention, then how your mind stir. Then how upon contact, the seven universal which is already there, the feeling part, you will feel it. Upon contact, feeling arise. But because you don't have wisdom, you lack yoniso manasikara, wisdom or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, that feeling immediately conditioned into craving. You will see all those within your meditation. And that is the real seeing. That's why the condition arising mind, the stirring of the mind, the reactive mind, the wrong view that condition all this, you will come to understand. Then the Four Noble Truths, one by one you will come to understand. You will come to understand the reality of life and existence. What is suffering and the cause behind is arising. And how when you just continue to silence your mind, relax and just aware. The third way, the Buddha taught five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, unpleasant mind state. The first one is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, so that you can overcome all the negative tendency through reversing it. That is thought-based. That's why think of the direct wholesome thought. Then the second way is to contemplate, reflect, and think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought, like anger, fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness. These are evil root of all evil. If you continue to have them in your heart, you become an evil person. Then your life, you decide how you want to live. If you want to have good karma, if you don't want to have karmic negativity, you should root it out. You should abandon this unwholesome thought. That's why this anger, this selfishness, this fear, this envy, jealousy, you have to abandon them. That's why the four right effort, they apply to thought. You must abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. Then later, right effort to prevent it from arising. And this is Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, thought-based. Useful also. Then you move on to the third way. Third way, you don't use thought. The Buddha said you just silence your mind. The moment you silence, you will understand what is going on. Because all of your anger, your unwholesome thought, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your envy, your jealousy, your emotional negativity and selfishness, all of the evil root and the hindrance, they arise because of certain causes and conditions behind. They are not intrinsic. Means they are not within you, understand not? Anger is never you, understand not? Selfishness is never you. Emotion, fear is never you. But they arise later, subsequent. After you think of something, or you see something, or you hear something, means they are conditioned arising after your mind stir. If your mind doesn't stir, your original state of mind is the true mind, which is silent and stillness. It is just silent, aware, peaceful. But how come you get emotional, angry, fearful? Because through wrong view, you react to sense experience, you stir your mind. So these are conditioned arising mental state, never you. Anger is never you. Fear is never you. So what must you do, the Buddha said? You just silence your mind, meditate. Third way, silent. That's why I say when you silent, you understand. When you silent, you don't give it any more thought energy. What happened? After a while, you realize this anger, this emotion slowly, slowly dissipate by itself. It slowly, slowly dissipate until you become peaceful again. Means the very flowering of that emotion, the anger, is the very ending of that. You know what is flowering in it? When the energy flower and dissipate, no more negative energy. You no more thinking. You no longer feed that thought. Then that thought ceases to be. That thought, which is the wrong thought, that condition your negativity of fear, worry, anxiety, or anger, will cease to be. And then the emotion subside by itself. Then you realize that the original state of mind come back. Then you realize the original state of mind was already peaceful, silent, and just aware. That stirring is a condition arising mind, which is the five mental aggregate of form and mind, nama rupa, not you. That's why it's anatta. It's anicchang because it's condition arising, causal phenomena. The moment you grasp, cling, and give meaning, suffering will arise. You will see all this in the meditation. Then you realize how foolish living being can be. No wonder the Buddha said it's delusion. It's only a thought. Condition arising emotion, mental state, sankhara. And yet you deludedly grasp and cling, say, anger is me. I must not be angry. Then what you do? You control your anger. You suppress your anger. Then you try to live like an enlightened being. When people disturb you, you suppress your anger. You say, I'm not supposed to get angry. Never mind. I don't want to get angry. You can say what you like. But from the words you use, they really know you have anger. It's like, understand? Because you don't have wisdom. You cannot see all this arising. You cannot see all this conditioning. And you cannot see your own wrong view and your own delusion, clinging, grasping, and condition all this suffering. That's why the true Dhamma is just silent. When you're just silent, all the understanding is there. So the third way is very simple. Just silent your mind. When you're just silent, you don't react, anasana. When you are silent, you are at peace. Correct not? When you are at peace means what? No more problem in there. Human means problem is you cannot accept the reality of the real world. When you see something, hear something, or think of something, you want to comment, you want to react, you want to keep on. Otherwise, you cannot live life because your mind is so conditioned, so heedless. If you can see things as they are and accept the reality of the moment, then you are at peace, isn't it? You are only not at peace when you want things your way and want to react to what happened. Correct or not? Then your mind stirs. Then you want to do something. Then the chattering, the comment, everything come out. And that is where delusion is. And that is not meditation at all. But to see all this is meditation. To see how you get yourself deludedly entangled is meditation. So that's why after the third way, the Buddha said, you have to develop the fourth way, which is the wisdom way. The third way just give you a means to return to peace. Anasana. But this one, you cannot really live life yet. It can help you because every time you got problem, you go back and silent. Like you go retreat, silent, peaceful again. But when you come out of society, people disturb you or you encounter a situation, your mind stir again. Means your wisdom not there. You have not rooted out the evil root, the anusaya or the latent tendency. Means the habitual tendency, they are still there. Your wrong view, they are still there. You haven't straightened your view. So what must you do? The Buddha said, when you meditate, when you silence your mind at that time, you silently aware, then you find out. What must you find out? You find out the first thing is what? What must you find out? This is Dhamma investigation. What must you find out? The fourth way is what? Sadhu, very good. Wow. Who was that? Ingvi. Sadhu. Dhamma investigation. First thing you do is to trace the origination factor of what? Origination factor or what? Huh? Origination factor or what? How you become angry at Asara? What? Of course, it's the cause. But the cause of arising or what? Because you become angry, is it? Anger is suffering, is it? So you trace the origination factor of that. You can call it suffering or whatever mental state, understand? Or whatever negative mental state, like anger, huh? State, like anger, fear, worry, and anxiety, understand? Worry and anxiety. So when you trace the origination factor in your meditation, when you just silence your mind, you will come to know how you become angry. You have lived life for so many years. You get angry so many times, almost every day, unless you are cultivated. Then you realize you hardly, or later on, never. How did you get angry? How did fear arise? When you silence your mind, you will know. Even in the midst of life, daily life. Yeah. When your son or your daughter or your spouse do something to you, yeah. You come to be aware of those things through what? Seeing, hearing, and thinking. And that's how. This three door is very powerful. When you see him come back, they call in Canada mtelo. You suspect something wrong. Then he will behave the habitual way. He will be very moody, emotional, unhappy. You know he got problem already. Or sometimes he cheated on you or lied on you. He come back also, he very scared. So when you sense that, you straight away know he's going to do that. But how do you train yourself? If you continue to react to what he do and get angry and emotional, means what? You have not traced the origination factor, understand? You do not know that this is suffering now, understand? Understand? Because of what? Your attachment. Attachment to what? To that relationship. You think my husband must not cheat on me, understand? You think your husband must be perfect, then he enlightened already, understand? But just because he is not perfect, he will do this type of thing. But don't take it as Brother Teo encourage you to do. Forget about it. Because there is karmic implication, understand? Whatever you do is karmic. You reap what you sow, come back to you, to haunt you. That's why in this life, there are a lot of ladies who suffer. They ask me why. How come my husband like that? And some even scold the husband. Last time was honey, darling, and all this thing. Now, after so many years, after going through, he called him that bastard. Totally different. What they call word is being used. You know what? Because after she said in her own word, after marrying to him, for the last 15 years, trusted him and gave birth to 3 beautiful kids. And he did that to me. That's why he called him a bastard now. No more darling and honey. So when you trace the origination factor for your unhappiness, you will come to know the underlying factor behind is delusion. And this delusion will condition the fear, the insecurity in you. That's why you become panicky. You have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then you act wrongly. Then you stir the whole thing and become worse. So when you trace the origination factor, you come to know that it's from one of the 6 centers. That's why under Dhammanupassana, you remember? What is the first category of cultivation? The first category of Dhamma that you must be mindful of is what? Ing Bivanoi attend the Wu Ping Jing Sir class and he meditated. You must be mindful of the five hindrances. And this five hindrance is your sensual desire, ill will, which is part of anger, understand? Part of selfishness, lust, craving, understand? Yeah. Then even restlessness of mind, which is fear, worry, anxiety, you will be aware, understand? That's why the Buddha said, when the mind has this hindrance, you must be aware. Aware of what? You silent your mind and you will come to know. Then the Buddha said, when you are aware and silent, you will come to know the origination factor of this hindrance. Understand not? How the unarisen hindrance come to be. Understand not? Understand not? It's all in the Satipatthana there. But you don't know how to apply. You don't know how to meditate. That's why you cannot get it. It's all theory. But now I'm telling you, this is the real Satipatthana. So when you are aware of the hindrance, because you silence your mind, and you will come to know how it arises. Understand? Not? Even in daily life, in formal meditation, it's the same. Formal meditation, most of the time, is either sloth and torpor or restless mind. Understand? Not? Or you will have pain, itchiness, yeah? Or what they call the mind that is restless. Because you cannot make yourself peaceful and calm. The hindrances are there. So when you come to know how the hindrance comes to be, means the origination factor, then you sit and relax your body and mind and continue to be silent and aware, then what happens? Means you develop your spiritual faculty or sati, understand not? Relax and silent. When you do that, the spiritual faculty will counter the hindrance, understand not? No more craving, no more anger, nothing. But when you silent, just aware, everything ceases to be. Understand? You will return to the original state. And then you realize how the arisen hindrance ceases to be. Understand? Not? This is how you trace. That's why you have to be silent in order to trace. Then you realize you don't have to do anything. Silent is gone. Understand? Not? And then you have to develop the wisdom, the fourth way. Then retrospectively, through this understanding of the origination factor, retrospectively, you reverse it. Understand not? Understand not? How you do that? After the five hindrances, what is the next category of Dhamma? Mindfulness of what? No, the five mental, the five aggregate of form and mind, correct? Five aggregate of form and mind. Means you see how your mind function, understand? How perception come to be, how feeling come to be, how the external form enter your mind, and how you deludedly attach, cling, grasp, and stir, understand? So, how Sankara come to be? You see them moving inside your mind state. Then how you become conscious, understand? Upon contact, consciousness come to be. And the feeling inside is another thing. You don't have wisdom, the feeling become craving very fast. That's why all this arise. Then after that, when you understand the five aggregate, when you have the mental, spiritual faculty or sati to be aware of them, then only you can go to the third category of practice. Third category is what? Mindfulness of six internal sense bases and the six external sense. This is how you trace the origination factor. External sense bases, upon contact, consciousness come to be. Then how come immediately you stir? Because of wrong view. You will come to know because you have not straightened your view. Then when you contemplate and reflect, you will come to understand. If I don't do anything, it ceases to be. Means I must straighten my view, understand? If I have wrong view, I will continue to react and stir my mind and I will continue to have this problem and all of the retreat and meditation no more meaning, understand? Because when I'm in the retreat, it's a control condition, the setting is all very beautiful, everybody keep precept, nothing is there to test or stir you, understand? So it's a conditioned state, understand? Not a real situation. Not in real life where you will be tested. That That's why you will be peaceful. But the moment you come out, you realize, after 1 week, 2 week maximum, you go back to square one. You still do the same. That's what a lot of people told me, Brother Teo, how come like that? Because you are not doing the real one. The real one is life itself. So how do you do it? You have to trace the origination factor. Then you have to reflect and contemplate, use the first turning, second turning, and the third turning, wisdom. The second turning becomes important. You contemplate and reflect. When I see my husband, how come I react? How come my sankara straight away move? This is a habitual tendency, born of wrong view. Born of what? Jealousy. Born of course, anger. Jealousy will make you angry. Also, attachment. Very good. Otherwise, you won't react. If it's not your husband, you make a time. But your husband, fear of losing him, fear that people outside will say, wow, that lady, husband left her. No? But to a lady, it's very serious. If you take it that way, you become miserable, I tell you. So what? If he doesn't want you, he is the one who loses, isn't it? You are the one with the Dhamma, and you are the one with the Noble Eightfold. You become so beautiful, understand? You should turn around and say, solo, zhao po, understand? The real one, beauty inside, don't understand. Want to go and play outside, get into trouble, you know, then see how he suffers, understand? Then, you no longer suffer, understand? Because you believe in your own virtue and your own value, understand? When you know the value of your good, you are not deluded, you know. But when you don't know the value, you've got fear. You thought, if he leave you, the world ends. Life got no more meaning. You become miserable over what? That small little thing. There is so much more to life, you know. Understand? Why must you have this type of wrong view and fear? So, when you reflect and contemplate, then you understand. If I understand the Dhamma, my life is beautiful. I have the wisdom to live life. I don't depend on anything else. Understand? I'm already free, already beautiful. Yeah. But this one is love one. Understand? But when it comes to normal worldly situation, like people scold you, abuse you, insult you, like in the office, that one is no more husband. No. That one, your ego is being triggered off. No. Oh, then become angry. How you deal with that? How you deal with that? Huh? That one no more solo. No? Of course, you can treat him as solo so if you want to. But it will not solve your problem. You have to learn to develop wisdom, to see things as they are, and to accept them for what they are. Understand? Like what I always tell you all. What did I tell you all? They are just the way they are. Angry person say angry thing, understand? Deluded person do deluded thing. Selfish people do selfish thing. So when you accept them for what they are, you are at peace. You will no longer blame or react or get emotional and angry, understand? That is the beginning. It doesn't mean you agree with what he do, no, understand? A lot of people don't understand that. You may accept him for what he is. My husband did that to me and you accept everything? He said, Buddhist like that one. Accept doesn't mean you agree and condone what he do. Accept him for what he is. It's selfish people, lustful people, deluded people will do deluded things. Let karma take care of him. Don't try to be the judge. Understand? Or don't try to play God. Want to punish him and revenge. Then it becomes jealousy, anger, hatred. Understand? Then you also suffer worse than him. That's why in Cantonese they say, don't go and xiong xiong what? Ho si liu. I also forgot the word. Xiong 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 po. Yin yin xiong po ho si liu. Something like that. You no need. Understand? What is life? He is entitled to his life. Let him live. Through delusion he live, he will suffer. Understand? Then have love, have compassion. Forgive him, for he know not what he do, like Jesus. Can you forgive? If you can forgive, means you are at peace. Then after that, you do what you have to do. You act with noble eightfold path. Understand? If need to resolve thing, resolve it amicably. If he already decided to leave you or what, just let it be. Understand? Or if that person is somebody you don't know, you just say sorry. If I caused you any misunderstanding, I really would like to apologize because it was never my intention. If in any way, through whether action, speech, or thought that I have offended you, I really would like to ask for forgiveness. I tell you, he will turn down straight away. Otherwise, you will get into a very, very severe misunderstanding. Then conflict, argument will start. Then suffering and misery will follow. So that's why when you trace the origination factor, then you realize it was your wrong view, because last time you continued to react and stir into your wrong view and your habitual tendency. So now you have to develop the mindfulness not to repeat this anymore. So next time when you see somebody scolding you, abusing you, and doing all those things, immediately you cannot understand. That's why, like last time, I read Pat Masuri at the retreat, Cameron Highland told me, Brother Teo, I know I shouldn't be angry, but yet it happened. But at the moment that it happened, she aware already. Understand? That is the beginning. Understand? Aware first, want to stir already. Understand? Want to get angry already. Then right effort to prevent it from arising. Understand? This is no more through the thought. Through understanding, we are straightening your view. Continue to reflect and contemplate. And when you can do that, the next time you see this thing, you laugh straight away, I tell you. When you can laugh, you already pass, I tell you. Your last time I used to go through, then like I told you all, my wife one day make the coffee, forgot to put sugar. The moment I sip, I just laugh. Then I tell her, come, drink. And then she, oh, forgot to put sugar. Normal people react, what the hell, especially wife take for granted, Sugar also don't put out. What type of coffee is here? Oh, you think she happy or not? She will be miserable. People already help you to make the coffee and you somehow react like that. Understand not? That's why I have sensitivity. Respect your wife. Appreciate what they do. That's why contentment, appreciation, gratitude. These are very great virtues. And you can bring about great relationship. Understand not? Good life. Happy life. Then there was another incident, I remember, when I was walking, suddenly my knee here, I hit something very severe. Normal people would have yelled, very painful. It was a steel metal piece. No? They didn't know well it, then it came out. You cannot see. Oh, it was so painful. No? And yet I was laughing, no, smiling. What can you do? Because this is tactile consciousness, understand? No? You got two choices. Cry over it and become miserable. Second choice, be aware of it and laugh. Understand? No? Either way, you can do. But normal human being choose the first one. Ayo, why so sweet? How come this fellow so stupid? Go and put this. All this is not the reality. You can go and complain, talk, and become miserable. Understand? No? The reality is, you have had the what they call condition to hit this fellow and the tactile consciousness arrive. You can call it karma or whatever because you were not aware of that thing at that moment. Understand? At that moment, you can be aware of other things. So sometimes you do hit. And this is not a mistake. Understand? This is just the condition is like that. That's why it will happen. Sometimes it's because karmic. Understand? You have to repay. That it will have the condition. And it come and test you. The third one possibility is it come and test you. And when you understand, no more. No more this type of test. You're free. So after you have traced the origination factor, I need to look at the clock now. I cannot see. So I know I got 20 more minutes. So after you trace the origination factor, you will have to retrospectively reverse it through understanding. Number two is retrospectively. Reverse it via understanding. key thing is silent mind. Silent your mind. Just silent and aware. Yeah? This is the meditative mind. The moment you are silent, you are already in sati. The whole of satipatthana is about sati. No more thinking, no more noting, no more thought. Understand not? That's why you just aware. Silent. The moment you are silent, you are attentive, you are aware, and you will trace all this. That's why in the satipatthana is mentioned very clearly. You will come to understand how the non-arisen factors come to be, anasana, or hindrance come to be. Then you will come to understand how the arisen factors cease to be. Then after you have developed the wisdom, you will come to know how in the future the non-arising of this factor come to be. It can never arise again. You will come to know. That's how you become enlightened, anasana. Because that wisdom is so stable and so powerful. It's no longer deluded. Nothing can delude that form and mind anymore because of that understanding. That's why the real meditation is totally different from what normally perceived by the community or the so-called cultivator. So this one clear that. Yeah? Now clear that. So just through one very simple meditation reporting, you got the condition to understand this truth. It's very beautiful. It's explained in a very different way. And now you can apply. And this is what actually happened to me during the early day. I saw all this. That's why I can understand the teaching. I realized how human being, living being become like that. Yeah, I was like that before. Then when I understood, very funny, you know. It doesn't react anymore. And not only it doesn't react anymore, it cannot be afflicted at all. It cannot become like slightest unhappy, nothing. No such thing, even very severe type of situation. Nothing. Just one word, sankara. That's why the Buddha said, sabbe sankara anicang. Sabbe sankara dukang. What is sankara? Sankara is what? Not only mental activity. Mental activity, mental states, mental volition, mental formation, all your planning, scheming, whatever that your mind can do, all of the activity of mind, including your feeling and perception, this is all sankara. That's why the Buddha say, sabbe sankara anicang. All of sankara is impermanent. Why? They come and go. Correct? Right? They arise and pass away. But they are conditioned arising. Mental, very fast. Understand? Feeling come and go. Perception come and go. Thinking come and go. Emotion sometimes lasts very long. Understand? We are deludedly hold on to it. Get angry for so long. Understand? But no matter how angry, finally, you still sleep. Or you still have to forget about the anger. But because of your attachment, the moment you wake up, or sometimes in your subconscious dream state, you also have anger inside that dream. That's why you have attachment, clinging and craving and grasping, suffering will result. That's why sabbe sankara dukkang. All of sankara, you attach and cling and grasp, give meaning, suffering will arise. And all of sankara, because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call me and I. It's like anger is not you, fear is not you, understand? All the emotion is not you. All of the five aggregate of form and mind is not you. That's why anatta lakana, understand? Non-self. Not only the whole five aggregate, no. Even feeling is anatta. No. You check that teaching? Anatta lakana. Form is anatta, no? Rupang, anatta, Vedana, anatta, Sanya, anatta, Sankara, anatta, then Vinyanang, anatta. Five aggregate, form and mind, mental, they are all anatta. Anicang, Dukkang, anatta. And you see their characteristic, you will definitely awaken. You're no longer foolish. Then you tell yourself, this is what karmically conditioned for me to use the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects of it, I shouldn't be deluded anymore. I should use it. Hasana, like you train your mind so that the mind serve you. Hasana, not the other way around. The mind control you and make you miserable. Hasana, where you use the thought through delusion. But when you develop wisdom and understand them for what they are and know that they are karmically conditioned for you to use, then use, like a piece of knife. Hasana, use it for the benefit of all. Hasana, for the blessing of all. You use it appropriately to cut fruit, shape fruit, but not foolishly to cut yourself, harm yourself, and hurt yourself. Understand? That's why your thought is the same. The Buddha said, "Noble Eightfold Path, arise the right thought through right view." Understand? Not to arise the wrong thought that condition your fear, worry, misery, suffering, selfishness, emotional negativity, and all those negative state of mind. And that is the wrong way of using thought. Understand? Make yourself unhappy, miserable, depressed. That is really delusion. Yeah. Who will do that? Torture yourself. Make yourself so miserable. Using what? Your own thought. Think until you're so depressed. Want to commit suicide. Who is so foolish to do that? But the mental patient never understand. Human beings who are deluded never understand. Because they thought, you got problem, think. The more you think, because you don't have wisdom, thought become wrong thought. And what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your negativity, your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, your unhappiness, your emotional negativity, your craving, your desire. All these are wrong thought. So when you understand them clearly, you're no longer foolish, then you suddenly develop the understanding that I need to straighten my view. I need to come out of this. I need to gain back my life. I need to have this type of understanding. And then you determine to cultivate. Understand? You determine to develop the spiritual faculty. Then you determine to meditate to understand all this clearly. So that it's not only knowledge. So that it can become a living reality. So that it can actually benefit you. Free your mind. Liberate your mind. To develop this understanding to live life so that life can become meaningful, beautiful. Yeah. Okay? Can follow? Yeah? Understand? Oh, very good. Now very clear. I have a drink. You got any more questions? That's why sometimes you must report your meditation. So don't be shy. Otherwise, there is no condition for me to share. Okay, now I have a drink. You all think of a question. Yeah. Anybody want to add on or share? You can. So that it can give confidence to others. How much time we have? Oh, now I can see from here. Another 12 minutes. You got any more questions? No more questions. Then we go through the 31 plane of existence quickly. The 10 Dhamma rhyme. Oh, this one, when did it fall off? Where is the clip? Meant to be, where I need to write this place. No wonder it draw. Okay, for those who have the notes, bring that speaker in front by 1 foot. Move it forward by 1 foot. Thank you. Okay. Okay. You see, this 10 Dhamma rhyme, this is the Mahayana way of describing the universe. Understand? The Theravada way is the 31 plane of existence. This 31 plane of existence is the Theravada way of describing our conditioned world. Conditioned world. Oh. Okay, thank you. Conditioned world means within the existential world or mundane world. So this 31 plane of existence, which you all, I think most of you all have heard of, they consist of the three worlds. The Buddha described the 31 plane as the sensual realm, sensual world, Kamaloka, K-A-M-A, Kamaloka. Then the form world, where they live without the sense, the senses. Sensuality is more or less cut off, understand not? Whereas the sensual world, the sixth sense door, the sixth sense sensuality is still very high. That's why it's called the sensual world, Kamaloka. Then Rupa Loka is the form world. They enter form jhana. And their body, because it's full of this jhanic energy, this is more blissful than the what they call the sixth sense door type or sensual pleasure, understand? So because of that, they actually don't need this what they call sensual type of experience. They have this four Brahma Vihara, which is way above, understand? That's why they abide within the four Brahma Vihara. I think battery is low. I use back that one. It's okay, I use this one. So this one, you have the form world, Rupa Loka, then you have the formless role, Arupa Loka. So Arupa Loka, they exist without form. It's only mind. That's why they live very long. So for those who do Samatha meditation or Jhana meditation, you can take birth in the form and the formless realm. When you pass away, then you develop that type of jhanic capability. Then rebirth can take place up there if the conditions are fulfilled. Then for those who actually are within the what they call sensual realm, you will move within the sixth realm that the Mahayana described. That's why sometimes you heard of this Liu Tao Lun Hui. You like go through cycle of birth and death within the sixth Dhamma realm. Their sixth Dhamma realm is actually this sixth Dhamma realm, the brown color here, they are actually equivalent to the 31 plane of existence. So the four lower realm, they call it the woeful state, the demon realm, the animal realm, the hungry ghost of Peta, and the hell realm. So this one is actually the same. So this four realm, the woeful state of deprivation or apaya realm, they are all the same. Then the fifth realm is the human realm. It's still the same. So rebirth as a human being is extraordinarily rare. It is also extraordinarily precious, as its unique balance of pleasure and pain facilitates the development of virtue and wisdom to the degree necessary to set one free from the entire cycle of birth and death. So do value your human life. Understand? If you do not value your human life, it's really, really what they call pitiful. Then the development of virtue and wisdom, the attainment of enlightenment, through stream entry guarantees that all future rebirth will be in the human realm and above. You won't go into the four woeful realm. Then as you move up, these are the deva realms. The deva realms of the sensual world. The four great heavenly kings. The four devas, Chakuma Raja devas. Then the 33 gods, Tavatinsa. Then you got the Yama. Then the Tusita heaven. Then after that, you got the Nimanarati Deva. Then Paranimanarati Vasavati Deva. So these are the six Deva plane within the sensual realm. Then above that is the 16 realm of Brahma, form realm. These are the Brahma plane. I spoke at Klang Talk, Samatha Vipassana is described there. These are the 16 brahmarine. You do first to fourth jhana, form jhana, you can take rebirth up there. Then the last four is formless rhyme, arupa. So actually, all these six deva rhyme, 16 brahma rhyme, and the four formless rhyme, the Mahayana call them the heavenly rhymes. Understand? The rhyme of the heavens. Understand? That's why it's equivalent to the six rhyme. The six dhamma rhyme of Mahayana is the 31 plane of existence of the Theravada. But Mahayana teaching go further. Because Theravada is more or less silent about the other four enlightened beings' type of existence. They mention, but little or no description. They only describe one of the rhyme in a little bit of detail. They call it the sound hearers. The rhyme of the sound hearers. Sound hearers are those who hear the sutta or the teaching of the Buddha, then they become enlightened. So the sound hearers, they are called the rhyme of the sound hearers, savaka. In Pali, it's called savaka. So when the Buddha sasana is present, they cultivated the Buddha Dharma via hearing the Four Noble Truths. Then there can be four pairs of enlightened beings or individual, namely Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahan. I have already explained them. Each of these enlightened beings, they have path and friction. That's why they constitute a pair. So there are four. So four pairs. You chant them in your salutation to the Sangha. Remember? Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. Then after that, you got the what? Chattari and the no what? The four pair of beings. You can go through the notes. Then after that, you got the rhyme of the conditioned enlightened one. These are called Pajeka Buddhas. Understand not? Even when the Buddha is not around, they can also become enlightened on their own. Because they meditate to realize the dependent origination, the dwelling. So these are the enlightened beings that awaken through understanding or realization of the dependent origination or dwelling. So Dharma may or may not be present when they are alive. Self-enlightenment via realization through the dwelling or dependent origination. Then they are called Pajeka or Silent Buddha, since no proclamation of truth is made. They can teach the Dhamma and the Sana, but they don't have a Sasana and a Sana. They don't come out into the world and proclaim a Buddha Sasana like the Sammasambuddha. That's why they are different. Then after that, you move on to the next rhyme, the rhyme of the Bodhisattva. This one you all know, huh? The Bodhisattva had to cultivate the 10 perfection, especially the Prajna Paramita, to realize Samyat Sambohi and ultimate Nirvana, to become the fully enlightened one. Bodhisattva are enlightened beings that walk the path to become Buddhas, Anasana, to become Sammasambuddha. And to do that, they need to cultivate the 10 perfection. And according to the Mahayana practices, there are 10 stages of Bodhisattva cultivation. And for you to be confirmed, given a name, you have to reach the 7th or 8th stage. It's not easy, but it's worthwhile. Very rewarding. So for those who can have the patience to walk, I got less than 1 minute left. So we go to the last one. Rhyme of the Buddhas. The fully enlightened one, having cultivated the 10 perfection and Prajna Paramita needed to become a Sammasambuddha. So Sakyamuni Buddha, Amitabha Buddha, Medicine Buddha, they are all Sammasambuddhas. Understand? Perfected the 10 perfection and they have actually fulfilled all of the requirement or requisite to become a Sammasambuddha. Okay, so we end, huh? Okay, I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we'll do the sharing of merits then. You all can make your aspiration. Share your merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one and those who can receive them. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, now we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatukalena sasa sampatihito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Now you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end. Thank you.